you will, let's open up to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. I spoke to Brother Andre yesterday, and he sends his greetings to everybody, and I was hopeful he'd be here next week, but his schedule may be changing, but sometime soon, as the Lord wills, he'll be here with us, and he's looking forward to that. And Brother Angus Fisher sends his greetings from Australia. He's been pretty sick here lately and recovering, him and Lisa both. And Lord willing, we'll be down there to worship with him in June for a couple of weeks. I'm looking forward to that, and I think those brethren are too, and pray for them as you can. He just got back from India, and pray for those brethren in India that the Lord has a work there. Exodus chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse 7. Remember, the Lord came in a burning bush and turned Moses' eyes, and Moses wanted to see this great thing, and this was the holiness of God. And he said, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Verse 7 says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large. Remember that large upper room we looked at Wednesday? Unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, is Moses ready to do this? He was ready 40 years ago, wasn't he, Cass? He was ready. I'll do it right now. Get out of my way. Henry's out here preaching one time in California, and he's preaching twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening. He's having a conference. And a man sat down next to him, and he said, Brother Mahan, he goes, if you're tired, I got a message right here in my hip pocket. I'll preach for you. I wouldn't let that man preach in this pulpit if God's with me. And if somebody else let him, I wouldn't go hear him. That man ain't ready. He thinks too high of himself. It's bad. Did the Lord let Moses lead his people whenever he said, I'll lead them? No, he didn't. He made him wait 40 years on the backside of the desert. Go out there kicking rocks, watching them sheep, get some good practice in, live a little bit. Look here at his attitude now. Is he ready now? Verse 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? I think he's ready. He wasn't ready before. He doesn't think he's ready. He had to prove to him he can't do it without the Lord. And the Lord said, now you're going to go. Now you're going to go. That's precious to me. I hope it's precious to you. And he said, certainly I'll be with thee. I ain't going to send you by yourself. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. This Mount Horeb. This is where the Lord gave his law. He said, you're going to come right back here. I'll prove it to you. Where you're standing, that's where you're going to be. I'm going to bring you to a holy place. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel, and shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what's his name? What shall I say unto them? If I'm sent in your name, I have to tell them what your name is. What do you want me to tell them? That's wisdom. I have a good 5-point PowerPoint presentation I think I can bring to these people. No, you tell me what. You're going to go with me. You tell me what to say. A whole lot of preachers beg from a fresh word of God for that day, not from some old dried hardtack that's preserved with preservatives from 15 years ago. I want a word for today. You tell me what to say. I don't want to say what I think. Lord tells him. Ask and you'll receive. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. I am. You go tell them, I am sent you. I am. Who's that? What's that mean? I am. That means self-existent. The self-existent one. He always has been. He is. And he always will be. And time ain't nothing to him. We deal in time. We have a past, a present, and a future. Not him. Those are things that our minds, you'll go crazy if you start delving into those things. We can't enter into it. He never had a beginning. He'll never have an end. We can kind of get, we'll never have an end because we ain't ended yet. We don't remember beginning, but we know we did, and we see that happen. That's never, he is. He's a self-existent one. That's true. But that's not just infinite. We have to have some understanding as to what that means. And not just what that means, what's that mean to us? What's that mean to you? I am. What's that mean to you? There was a fellow, he's a fighter, and they interviewed him after the fight, and he said, I broke my back. And they said, what happened? He said, my back is broken. And they, well, yeah, I got that. They said, is it one of your vertebrae? He said, spinal. You think he understood what he was talking about? Them doctors did. He didn't. He didn't have a clue what he's talking about. He's just mumbling words, wasn't he? I want to understand these things. I want you to understand them. Not that the Lord's just omnipresent, that he was, he is, and he always is. He's infinite. He's everywhere at once. Not just that he's omniscient and he knows all. He's the potentate. He's the authority. And not that he's omnipotent, that he's all power and governs all things. Not that we give mental assent to those things and say that's true. That's accurate. You know, everything that this is that I am for us, that's what we've been covering in John. It's took us a long time to go through that. We'll see us next hour. It doesn't do us good any good just to say these things are true. We need to believe them. We need to rest in them and die for them. And die with them. That's what we need. This one speaking to Moses, this great I am, is the same one from eternity past and is the same for eternity to come. That's too big for us to understand. He's the everlasting God. And there was a time he's going to come to this earth. It hadn't happened yet. A body was prepared for him, and he's going to enter that body and come to this world as the self-existent one. That's a great mystery. Paul told Timothy, he said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. This one who's infinite, who's all things, came as an infant. He was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit. What's that mean? He was rendered just. He was declared just in the Spirit. Seen of angels. This is miraculous too. Preached to the Gentiles. That's us. We're Gentile dogs. Did you know that? Man wants to keep a law. That's the Jewish law. That ain't to us. We're outlaws. We ain't even worth it giving a law. He's preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. That's magnificent, isn't it? Turn over to John 6. There's at least seven times the Lord tells us what his name means. John chapter 6. We'll look at the first one. Just skip a rock through here and hope I'll go quick for you. We can read up on these things. We can go get a library full of books. And you know, it doesn't do us any good to know what John Gill thinks about the I Am. It doesn't do me any good or any benefit of what Spurgeon thinks that the I Am is. It doesn't do me any good to know what Mahan thinks the I Am is. And it doesn't do you any good to hear what Thacker thinks the I Am is. God's going to tell us what it means. He's going to tell us who he is. I want to hear what he has to say, don't you? John 6, 35. And Jesus said unto them, John 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the self-existent one. This is him. That one that was in the bush, Melchizedek, all those pre-incarnation appearances of Christ, this is him. And he tells him, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. I've told you before, if you go to church and you have to have a thesaurus or a calculator to be there, find you another church. Here's the self-existent one proclaiming himself. And how does he use it? He says, I'm the bread of life. Do you know something? We all have different opinions on how to do this. Everybody eats. Do you know that? Everybody eats. We know what bread is. He says, I'm the bread of life. We can understand that. We must eat to live. And this great I am, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Godhead in a body, he says, I'm the bread of life. We have him, and we have no other needs. We won't hunger, and we won't thirst. We may have some wants, but spiritually, there's no other needs. Nothing's, we may have wants in this body. There's no spiritual needs. He's our life. He's our bread. He's our food. He's our drink. We have to drink something too, don't we? I don't like drinking plain water. I do, but I need to. You drink things. We have to have something to drink. He's everything. That's the basics, isn't it? Job said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I need this more than I need food. How about you? I need to hear what he says, not what other people think, not their opinions. I want to know what he says. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. How do we come to him? How do we come to Christ? How do we believe on Christ? By faith. We come by faith to him. We believe on him by faith. Well, what's the means of that? How do we get faith? We got to hear. Somebody's going to have to come and preach to us, look us eye to eye, and we're going to have our mouths closed and our ears open, and that man's going to say something, and the Lord's going to speak through that to our hearts, and we're going to hear, and we'll say, that's right. You believe him. It ain't complicated. It's just impossible with man. First of all, he's our life, and he's our provision in everything. It says in Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We'll never lack on righteousness. Did you know that? We'll see this next hour too. We'll never lack in wisdom. We'll never lack in redemption. We'll never lack in justification. We'll never lack in sanctification. He's our bread. He's it. Turn over to John 8, verse 12. That's the first one. Here's the second one. And Jesus spake unto them again, John 8, 12. Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light, the self-existent one. What is he? The light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. By nature, everybody, sweet, precious little newborn babies, and teenagers, and young adults, and old adults, and sweet little old people, everybody, born of Adam, we love darkness, and we hate light. That's all of us, isn't it? Lord told Nicodemus that in John 3, he said, this is condemnation. That the light is coming to the world. The I am came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Light sheds, you can see things with light, can't you? We by nature, we love darkness, our dark selves more than the great I am. We love our way and our thoughts and our traditions and our experiences over what his word declares. And we're ignorant of who we are. There's a lot of people in churches, they'll say, oh, they're sinners, and God saves by grace, and they say a lot of things. Sounds good, don't it? They're ignorant of who man is, they're ignorant of who God is, and we're fumbling around in the dark, thinking we're okay. But God. He comes in and He shines a light onto us and into us. He's a light, and we finally see things as they are. And we declare things as they are because we can see it now. We didn't see that before. There was a time we could not see, and through His command and who He is, now we see. Has that been your experience? That blind man said, I tell you this, I was blind, now I see. You know what happened to him? There's a time I didn't know this stuff. I was wrong. I didn't do right. Everything I did was sin. I thought I was doing right things. That's iniquity. Everything I thought was good was bad. And then God shined His light, the light of Christ in me. Showed that to us. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. An odd number. We ain't like us. That you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Well, I'll tell you about my journey. No, you won't. If you're God, He'll tell you about what He did. That's right, ain't it? Light reveals things as they are. He's revealed to us our darkness and His holiness. He's revealed to us that we're the darkness and He's the light. And He's revealed to us His redemption and His anointing and His keeping and His resurrection. That's what's to come. That's our hope. Be made like Him. John kept talking about these things. Did you know that? He had a handle on it. He got a better handle on it as he got old. He aged. Y'all get that article I sent out of Henry's? That was in Paul Mahan's bulletin. I want to age that way, don't you? I want to mature. This body, as this body fails, I want to be stronger in the Lord and the gospel. As these arms grow weak and these knees start giving out, I want to stand on His promises and remember them more and remind other people of it. And I don't want to be old and sad and grumpy. I want to be happy. I have a reason to be happy. Don't we? I pray to God we do. We'll enter eternity in shambles. John aged, and he said, "This then is the message which we've heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, and we walk in darkness," if we say, "I love the Lord, and I love all my other brethren that hate Him, I have fellowship with them," or we lie and we do not the truth. "But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, with our true brethren. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth." That means it don't quit us from all sin. That's the kind of light I want to be in, Bob. I want to see things in that light as they truly are. And I want to warn people that's fumbling around in darkness that think they're okay. Come to the light. That's another thing in movies, isn't it? Don't go to the light. No, come to the light. He's the light. Turn over to John 10. Here's the next one. Children get that, don't they? If it's cameras on, cameras off, you turn the lights out, turn the lights back on at nighttime. The lights are off, it's dark. You turn the lights on, it's light. He's light. Now we see stuff. Kids get that. A child can understand that. Look here at verse 9. John 10, verse 9. "I am the self-existent one." Moses, go tell them this is me. Here's a spoke in the wheel. The door. "I am the door. If by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." He's the door. You know what a door is? You understand the concept of the door? If any man, whomsoever, enter in, you're going to be saved. That means you're bought, you're cleansed, you're purified, you're preserved, and you shall go into the presence of God and shall come out of the pit. You come out of that religion and that idol worship and that self-worship and everything. You're going to come out of that. You ain't going to stay in it. That's still walking in darkness. You'll come out of it. Into Him. And you're going to find eternal pasture. What's that? Rest. Food. Comfort. Rejoicing. Be happy you're on that grass. Good pasture. How are we going to have those things? The Lord Jesus Christ is the means. He's the door. The means of access. and entrance, the means of our salvation. By His doing, He goes to prepare a place for us. We now have access in the Holy of Holies. He's a door. You go through doors. It takes you from one place to another, doesn't it? He's the means, isn't it? Next one here, same chapter, John 10, verse 11. I am the self-existent one, this very one. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. This is the good shepherd that will give his life that we may go free. He says, you want me? You take me. You let these others go their way. That ain't hard. It's Him for us. This is the I am, the very one who is called the great shepherd that's going to come to us through His under shepherds. He micromanages. You know, in leadership and worldly things, you don't. If you want to be a good leader, you don't want to micromanage things. You want to delegate authority. This leader micromanages everything because he gets all the glory for it. We wouldn't, in the world, we want people to grow up. You're going to be boss one day. I'm going to die. This is never going to die. He's a self-existent one. And all of His under shepherds, He controls them, and He puts messages in their hearts, and He helps them makes decisions with them, makes them do things, tells them what to do. And this is the very one that's called the chief shepherd. That's the one that's coming again. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. That shepherd provides for the sheep. What? Go tell him, Moses, the great I am. He says, I'm your provision. That's what that means. I protect the sheep. He heals the sheep. He owns the sheep. How? The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. He bought them with his own blood. They're a purchased possession. By dying in the place of his elect, that price of adoption is the blood of the self-existent one. How can that be? It's so. I don't have to understand it and explain it. I have to believe it. And that's so. That's so. What is that? The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's particular redemption, isn't it? He didn't say, I give my life for the goats and the sheep and the snails and the birds or whatever. As long as they'd pretty please let me. He gave his life for the sheep. Particular people. That's who the I am is for. Fifthly, turn over to John 11. Excuse me, John 11. Verse 25. This is whenever Martha was back talking to the Lord a little bit and telling her, I know. You ever had somebody that knows something you don't know, try to teach you something, and you just tell them, I know. And then when they get through explaining it and you get it, you're like, well, I didn't know. Jesus saith unto her, verse 25, I am. Who's this? Who do I say sent me, Lord? The resurrection. The resurrection. That's not a doctrine, is it? What's your doctrinal views on the resurrection? Well, my doctrinal views is that doctrine's a person. That's the end state. Him. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. That's eternity. That's hope, isn't it? He's the first fruits from the grave. This is the forerunner. And that ascension, we just got through looking at him going up in a cloud, is proof everything he said has come to pass. And that assures us everything he said is going to happen is going to happen. You take it to the bank. It's so. There in Acts 1, we read the other day, to whom he also he showed himself alive after his passions by many infallible proofs. That's just so. That's what we look at every week, isn't it? We go back and forth between the Old Testament and New Testament. This is what it promised, and here's what came to pass. And that keeps happening. It's never not happened. They seen him for 40 days, and he was speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear about personal finance and though we'll learn about those things. I don't want to hear about how to raise your children so they're not heathens when they grow up and they grow up and be productive members of society as we're commanded by God to make them. I want to hear about the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. We get that. we get that premise, the particulars take care of themselves. What is the resurrection and the eternal life? What is that? I am. Christ is the person in it. Sixth, this has three subparts, if you like. We're doing bullet points. If I was giving you a PowerPoint slide, I'd give you ABC. John 14. John 14, verse 6. Thomas was asking some questions. Lord answered him. John 14, 6. And Jesus saith unto him, I am. Who's this self-existent one? Moses go tell him, I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the way. I'm the way. You remember us looking at these three things when we went through John? That this is what Adam lost in the garden. The way. Christ is the way. That's what we lost in the garden. Adam lost the communion with God, the presence of God, taking walks with him in the evening and talking with him and communion with him, the presence of him. That was gone. There's angels with flaming swords there now. You can't get back there. Ain't going to happen. We lost the way. How are we going to get back? Christ is the way. The self-existent one is the way. The truth, Adam and us too, we think we know things. You know what? There's a way that we perceive. I perceive that this is correct. And there's a way that's the way of death. And there's a way that man thinks right, and that's the way of death. It's a lie. We're born speaking lies. We're born superstitious. Y'all know what superstitious means? I hope I've told you before. I'm gonna hope I tell you a whole bunch over the next few years. Overly religious. That's what the word means. Overly religious. That one fellow said, "You superstitious?" He said, "I ain't superstitious because I'm a little stitious." He told the truth, didn't he? That's us by nature. We lost that. We ain't got no truth in us. He is truth. Well, no, that's truth. No, he's truth. And that's what he said. That's what truth said. The life. He said, I'm the life. From spiritual death to everlasting life. That's what the Lord is for us. We were dead. Trespasses and sins. Because of his blood, we live. He, the good shepherd, laid down his life for us. Seventh one. John 15. Verse 1. I am the true vine. This one, the self-existent one. The same yesterday, today, and forever. The true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. What is he saying here? Again. Because I hear this over and over. It's repetitious. It's not complicated. Salvation's of the Lord. All life is from and through him, just like a vine and a branch that produces fruit. All nourishment's through him. All the fruit comes from him. It originates there. It's connected to him. And all glory goes to him. He's the vine. And I thought, could you imagine? I was watering my trees the other day. They're starting to bud, my fruit trees. And I thought, well, that looks good. Them buds are popping out. Could you imagine if trees could talk? And that branch says, I make fruit. I do. That tree trunk, I mean, it's okay, I guess, but I'm the fruit maker. I don't really need that tree trunk. Ha! That's hilarious, isn't it? Because it's ridiculous. It's comical. You can cut that branch off, and you know what that trunk will do? I prune trees. Another branch will pop out. The trunk's what's needed. That's where the life is. That's the way. It makes fruit, isn't it? Without the vine, us branches are nothing. He's the vine. The Lord purposed this salvation. He planned this salvation. He performed this salvation. And it's finished. It's done. You know what you got to do now? It's finished. Say thank you. It's called praising him. Worship him. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means in a body. And ye are complete in him. I don't feel like I'm complete. He didn't say you feel like you're complete. He said you are. It don't matter what I feel. It matters what he says. He's truth. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving, aren't they? That's a lie. He's truth. And he said you're complete in him. How important is it to believe? I'll close with this. How important is it to believe these things? I don't mean agree that it's accurate according to the scriptures. I mean lay down your life for it at all cost. That nothing is more important than this. This is life. How important is it that we believe that Christ is the bread, the sustenance? How important is it that we know that He's the light? He's the revealer. Well, I found Him. This is important. How important is it He's the door, that He's the means? How important is it He's the shepherd? He owns, He provides, He protects the sheep. That He's the resurrection, our eternal hope, our expected end. That He's the way, the truth, and the life. What's that? That's the second Adam. He's the second Adam. One, we all died in one, and in this one, many will live. And He's the vine. He's the source of all this. How important is it to, put all your chips in one basket to know these things? Turn over to John 8. Back a few pages to John 8, and we'll close. John 8, verse 24. I said, therefore, unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. I want to know who that I am is, don't you? I want to believe Him at His word. It ain't complicated, but when He says those things, I see it. I want to believe it. I do, and I do believe Him. And I want to believe Him more. I want to remember more. And stand on His word more. And I want you to. I want you to. I want you to believe this. And Christ is your life. That's my prayer. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this word you've preserved for us, Lord. And thank you for making it so abundant. It's in every room we go to and available everywhere and in our pocket, Lord. Your word, make us read it. Give us eyes to see these things and hearts to understand them. Keep sending your word to us through your messengers in this state and throughout this nation and throughout this world, Lord, as you promised you will. We pray for laborers in that harvest. Lord, raise up men to go and tell all the things that Christ is. Our necessity, how we need Him. Lord, all flesh is grass, and behold our God. Thank you for this time. Lord, bless it to the hearts of your people. And we ask these things for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, Brad, we'll meet back at 10:30.